I want to encourage you, if you have a Bible on your phone or an actual Bible, to have Hosea 11 open. Yeah, there are some Bibles out the front there, so I'm sure we can pass some around if people need them. But I don't have a PowerPoint really today, so I'm going to make it work a little bit. That is my one and only slide. Thank you for putting that up, Anthony. Just to remind us, I'm so grateful for Joe. I feel bad that I called her out earlier, but it was a joke. But he has made this fantastic sign for us with all the fruit of the Spirit on it. And it's kind of a good reminder of where we've been, love, joy, peace, and where we're going to end up. And today we are looking at patience. I used to think that I was quite a patient person. And then I had a kid. And I realised I am not patient at all. When it takes 20 minutes just to get out the door. Who's with me? Who's been a parent? You know this. But then I thought, well, I'd gain some of that patience back a bit. And then I had twins. And I really am not patient at times. I think I was patient once upon a time. Then I started driving. And then I moved into sort of Greater London area. And I realised I'm not a patient driver at all. Everybody's always rushing in their cars, aren't they? I'm guilty of it. I wasn't even driving the other day. Gemma was, and somebody cut us up. And Gemma was just, oh, that's fine. And I was like, no, beep your horn. And she was like, why? And I was like, well, that's what I would have done. She's a bit more patient than I am, I think. And, you know, as I was preparing this, I tried to print off an order of service yesterday. I think out of all the things that make me the most impatient, computers is probably the one I hate most. Because they think they know what I want them to do. They like change things that I've done. And I'm like, I haven't told you to do that. Is it just me? Or do other people feel that? And then I find myself having an argument with a computer that isn't even talking back to me. And yesterday I could only, for some reason, my printer would only print one order of service off. And I like to print off a few for the sound desk. And I thought Chris might want one. I don't know why Chris might want one, but I thought he might. And I was getting annoyed with my printer. And then I thought, I'm preaching on patience tomorrow. And I'd like to say at that moment, everything was all right. And I just thought, oh, sack it, I've got one, that'll do. We live in a world where everything is pretty instant, isn't it? We're not used to having to wait for things. You know, you can order pretty much anything online now, can't you? And if you pay for it, it will be there within a few hours if you want it. You can have it. Then what's all this waiting malarkey? I mean, Amazon are looking at getting drones to deliver stuff to you so that it's even quicker. Wow. You all look really excited about that. You see, this characteristic of the fruit, for me, feels more relevant today than perhaps it ever has done. But before I get into focusing on the fruit of the Spirit, patience, and what it means for us, I want to turn our focus to looking at how patient God is. Because I think if we begin to understand God's patience with us, it begins to teach us something of how we can be patient with others. And Hosea 11 paints this beautiful picture of God as a parent. It's a picture of his love and care for Israel. And so if you are able to look in a Bible and follow it, check out some of these words. In verse 1, they're described as a child and I loved him. I called my son. We have God identifying himself as the parent looking after the child. That's how he loved the people of Israel. And the truth is, that's how he loves us. We are children of God. It goes on, it was I, God says, who taught them to walk. It was I who took them in my arms. God held them. It was I who healed them, it says. So we have this picture of this God who is the parent, who taught Israel, who healed Israel, who held Israel. And then this beautiful line where it says here in verse 4, I led them with cords of human kindness, with ties of love. To them I was like one who lifts a child to the cheek. Anyone who's been a parent, when you lift a child, you usually kiss them on the cheek, don't you? And there's nothing like having their cheek against your cheek. But this is a picture of God doing that. This is how God feels about us. There's something deeply intimate about God saying, I'm holding you this close. Verse 4 goes on to say, it was I who fed you. God fed them. God cared, he looked after them, he taught them, he loved them. And this is the tenderness and the intimacy that this special bond between God and his people. And yet, in between all of these words of love and care and compassion, we read the heartache of the Father as well. It's mixed in between it all. It's not the nice bits and then the bad bits. It's the nice bits and the bad bits all mixed together. It says in verse 2, the more they were called, the more they went away from me. Have you ever had that feeling, that situation where you've been calling someone by name? Oi, so-and-so, Mark, Mark. And that person has just carried on walking even though they've heard you. And they've not even turned round to acknowledge you. That's the picture I have. God's saying, I've called you by name. And yet, they still walked away from me. But it gets worse. We read in verse 2 that also that they then started to sacrifice to other gods. They start to worship other things. Not only are they walking away from God, they're now starting to turn their focus and attention. They're giving themselves to something else. Verse 5, they refuse to repent. Verse 7, my people are determined to turn away from me. You can just hear the heartache in it. Even though they still call me God Most High, you see, out of their lips came one thing, but their actions were something completely different. And so this picture of how much God loves his people, this picture of the parent and the son, mixed in with all the rejection and the heartache. And then between verses 7 and 8, and I looked this up in most verses of the Bible, and this might be me reading between the lines. It may well be, but I found this helpful. There's this break in the text between verse 7 and verse 8, and most of the translations have this break. And for me, this is a pause. It's this moment where they suddenly, Hosea, as he's writing this, pauses what God is saying. And it may not be in the original manuscript, I'm afraid I don't know. But despite all this, despite everything, despite the rejection, the walking away, the heartache of it all, we suddenly read, there's this pause, and then in verse 8, God says, how can I give up on you? It's like God suddenly like, I can't do it. I can't do what I should do. How can I give up on you? How can I hand you over? How can I treat you like Admar? Admar was a city that was destroyed, as was Zeboiim. How can I make you like Zeboiim? You see, this was what God was going to do. And then listen to these words. Wow, God says this, my heart is changed within me. All my compassion is aroused. God had the right to be angry, didn't he? He had the right to be, to do what actually ever he wanted to do to these people who had rejected him so much. And yet his love and compassion wins because of his patience. And then we read in verse 9, I will not carry out my fierce anger, nor will I devastate Ephraim again. For I am God and not a man, the Holy One among you. I will not come against their cities. See, God is hugely patient with them, despite everything. This is what patience is. God is demonstrating it. The Most High is setting us the example. I know it's the bar that we will probably never be able to make. It's too high for us. But you see, God is still this patient. And he is this patient with us. Because I know in my own life, and I'm sure this is true for others as well, there are times when I deliberately walk away from what I should be doing to pursue my stuff rather than what God wants me to do. There are times when I might not worship another God, but my interest is perhaps more on something I'm looking at on my phone than his word, for example. That I give myself to things which perhaps I shouldn't be. There are times when these things happen. And Paul recognized it as well. In 1 Timothy 1, writing to Timothy, Paul says this, but for that reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience. Paul got it. How thankful I am that God is patient with me and with you. And it should be comforting for us, shouldn't it? It should be a comforting thought that God sees us, he knows us, he sees our sinfulness as well. And yet, he waits patiently for us to turn back to him. And so when we come to the Holy Spirit and the Holy Spirit bearing fruit in us, one of these characteristics, we've had love, joy, peace, and now patience. This word patience has, there's two Greek words for patience in the New Testament. I can't pronounce Greek, I'm sorry. So I'm going to pronounce it in my Essex English accent, okay? So any of you Greek scholars out there, you can correct me afterwards or during if you want to. But one of the Greek words is hapomene. Spot on, Mark. And it means a remaining under. It's like when one bears under a burden. That's what one Greek word of patience means. The other is macrothumia. And this is the word that is used in Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. It's a compound made up of two Greek words, makros and thumos. And makros literally means long, and thumos means temper. So when we read the fruit of the Spirit, patience, it literally means long temper. In other words, we might endure much suffering and pain, but without complaining about it, that we are slow to anger. It's a way of not letting the things in us that could boil over, but instead letting patience win in us. In my previous church, I used to run a football thing on a Tuesday evening. All the lads that came were unchurched guys. And many of them used to be in trouble with the police a fair amount of times. One lad often used to turn up tagged for some misdemeanour that he'd done. And on one occasion, this particular lad, this guy called Sean, turned up, and I knew as soon as he turned up, he was angry about something. But you know what? That day, I'd had a bad day as well. I can't remember what had happened. All I knew is I turned up to play football with these lads, thinking, if any of them give me any grief, I'm going to, like, go at them tonight because I can't be bothered with this. Yeah, you know, sometimes I feel like that. And he started, and he was kicking everybody, and he was effing and blinding, and he was getting into my face and shouting at me. And at that moment, do you know what? God suddenly gave me a long temper, because usually I was ready to snap at him. And suddenly I just looked at him and I went, Sean, what's the matter? I said, mate, love you. What's happened? What's the matter? He was like, nothing, nothing. And I was like, talk to me. Something's happened. And he shared some stuff. And suddenly he calmed. And so did I. And in that moment, where actually what I wanted to do was shout at him and give back, because he was getting in my face, I thank God that at that moment, I think my patience suddenly kicked in and I suddenly saw him, perhaps through the eyes that God sees him. I wish I could say that happens all the time. But you know, I want it to. And I know you do as well, because we want to live this life, don't we? This is how we want to live for Christ. That we bear this fruit of love, joy, peace, and patience. Patience is powerful. Patience isn't just it's not a timid thing at all. It's not a sit back and be quiet. It's about endurance. It's about strength. And so the question to you I pose is, what is the situation or the circumstance or the thing that really tests your patience? But more than any situation or circumstance or thing, who is the person that tests your patience? Because when it becomes a personal thing, that's where I think God really can work in us and in them also. Clearly, from what I've been saying, I have not got this down at all. I have not got this all worked out. But I'm prepared to say, Holy Spirit, will you work this in me? I love how Peter puts it in his book, 2 Peter 3. He says, bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. Bear in mind that our Lord's patience means salvation. My hope is that just maybe as we demonstrate something of the Lord's patience in our lives, we see salvation happen in others. We're going to come and share communion now in just a moment. And what a great way to respond to this whole theme of patience. Recognizing how patient God is with us. And as we come to eat this bread and drink this wine, we're acknowledging that out of his patience comes our salvation. That he was patient enough with us every day to say, let's go again. Mark, let's go again. You've messed up, let's go again. Let's do this together. Because as we drink this wine, as we eat this bread, we're declaring God's salvation in our lives. I'm going to invite those who are serving to come up. You will see we have a slight different way today. You're free to take the glass of wine yourself. And the bread is on cocktail sticks. Like a classic 70s party. Look at that. I've never seen anything like it, if I'm honest. So not only do you get the joy of the cocktail stick bread, but you get the joy of the significance of what this means. Can I ask you just to stand? You won't be standing for the whole of communion, but just stand together now, because we want to respond, I hope we want to respond to God's word today. We thank you, God, that you are patient with us and that by your Spirit we might produce this fruit in us. By your Spirit, this fruit would be seen. It would be active. We long to be patient, God, and to wait patiently for you to move in our lives. And we acknowledge this morning our sinfulness. We acknowledge those things that we've done that we shouldn't have. We acknowledge those things that we haven't done that we wished we had. We acknowledge the people that we might have said something to that we regret. We acknowledge those times when we've let you down. We acknowledge those things that have been a stumbling block in our relationship with you. We lay it before you this morning. In the knowledge that in your patience, through Jesus, we can be forgiven. Thank you for the significance of this bread and this wine. That on the night before Jesus was taken to be crucified, as he shared a meal with his friends, he took bread and he broke it and he said, this is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And after they had finished eating, he took a cup of wine. He said, this is my blood in the new covenant poured out for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And so this morning we eat this bread and we drink this wine and we remember your sacrifice. But we also remember your resurrection and we give thanks for your salvation and ask that by your Spirit we would bear much fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.